Start your engines. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is the LCJ Q&A podcast. Thank you for listening. The world of the Fast and the Furious is getting animated. New animated series, Fast and Furious Spy Racers, premieres December 26th on Netflix. Joining me right now are the executive producers. We got Emmy nominee for Avatar The Last Airbender, Tim Hedrick, and seven-time Emmy winner, including for shows including The Penguins of Madagascar, Brett Holland. Guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
You're welcome, guys. Man, were you fans of the Fast and Furious film series before you really got involved in this project?
Yes, big fans. The Fast and Furious is kind of just like an institution now, so I feel like the whole world is fans of this franchise. But yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, I enjoyed the first one with a lot of street racing, but I really, really started getting into it like 5, 6, 7 when they start traveling the world and blowing more stuff up and becoming super spies. Honestly, I love that part.
Me too. They're in a very exciting groove right now where it's like sky's the limit. They can do just about anything.
Yeah, these Fast and Furious movies, I know the marketing campaign for Fast 9 just basically kicked off today in the last couple of days. We'll get into that in a little bit, but definitely want to talk about this series, which puts the spy secret agent element front and center. It has been touched on in some of the previous movies, including a little bit in this summer's Hobbs and Shaw. Tim, I'll go to you for this one. What was it like sort of putting this front and center, getting this out there with this animated show?
Well, I mean, when we started to think about how we wanted to, create a new kind of playground in the Fast and Furious universe, we really wanted to start, at the base level, with the original idea of these kids out running around in the streets, and kind of over the course of our first season, take it out to where it is now, where it is, Hobbs and Shaw battling cyborgs, and, jumping cars from one, high-rise in Dubai to the other and get to that level, pretty quickly over the first season. So, I mean, it was really exciting to be able to, in the animated world, explore all the tech that we could ever think of, create new things that the cars could do that they can't do in the films. The films are awesome because they're so rooted in practical car stunts, and I think that's a great, that's part of the movies that I love a lot. But since we are animated, we can just go, straight to 11 on every single thing, So we can have, hatches pop open and, guns shoot out of the cars and shoot paintballs at each other and just get crazy. So I really like that part.
Yeah, and these Fast and Furious movies are all rated PG-13, but they got some violence, they got some sexual content and mature themes. Because this show is for families, Brett, was approaching it, taking the elements of the movies, but was it approaching it almost like a clean slate or a revamp?
I suppose it would be a little bit of a revamp where we would basically start with Fast and Furious and make it as intense as we possibly could internally. And then we would start to dial back and make it more kid-friendly. I mean, the terms grit and fun were often used to create our parameters, where we're in the intensity of the reality of the movies. It's just hardcore. And then we find the fun and the lightness that kids could all enjoy. And that way we don't lose any of the intensity, but we maintain the safety and the good times.
Yeah, and you get that fun aspect and you get the youthful aspect, especially from Tony Toretto, who is Dom's cousin. Tim, how was it constructing him to be your central figure?
Developing that character has been a lot of fun. In the beginning, we knew that we wanted to kind of take a step back from where Dom is, because Dom is so incredibly cool and capable in every situation and can never be beat. And is always kind of teaching others. He's the leader of the family. And we wanted Tony to have that kind of charisma where people are drawn to him, and he is kind of the core of his little family, but he's got, eons to go to become where Dom is in the cool factor. So I really wanted to have a character that is constantly learning and trying to keep up and trying to live up to the Toretto family name and kind of not getting it, because I just think that's a much more interesting character to deal with. And then once we cast Tyler Posey, he brought this real elements of heart and fun, and he makes really funny noises when he gets hit on the head. he brought this whole, he really fleshed it out. So those two things together, I think, make Tony a really interesting character to watch.
He's definitely likable, definitely relatable, and listen, I broke the news online, basically, when the embargo lifted, when DreamWorks said, okay, at this exact moment, you can reveal that Vin Diesel voices Dom on this series, a CG animated version of him. Brett, how did you get Vin Diesel to reprise his role this time in an animated version on this series?
Well, as you know, he's the executive producer of the series, so he's heavily involved from the beginning. He was interested, and, you know, he came in, Jim recorded him, he was wonderful to work with. There really wasn't much convincing that we had to do. He was on board from the beginning. We put a top animator here on his scenes to really, really work on the nuances. We went over his CG model again and again and again to try to get that, you know, that powerful, beefy body that he's got with all the muscles and the strength, and we're constantly refining that, trying to get the look right. And, you know, we have a slightly realistic view of our characters, and then we pull it back just a little to give it that animated look. But we feel we did a decent job of capturing it.
Yeah, I think you did. Did Vin like it once he saw the finished version of the look of his character?
He did. He loved it, yeah. We were talking about it at the premiere last weekend. He was very happy. He loved the way the show came out. And, I mean, I don't think the show would be going forward if Vin Diesel wasn't happy with the results. I think he's pretty much, you know, he's the godfather of the franchise. So without his say-so, I don't think anything really happens.
And it's great because he does appear on the first episode of Spy Racers, again, December 26th on Netflix. And it is a big surprise when you see him. And I like the fact that he still provides the wisdom and the guidance of the series. I mean, that must have been really important to him and really important to you guys to make sure that his character stayed that way from the movies going into this show.
And it's not just in the show. I mean, I talked with him before we started production and kind of pitched him the idea, and he talked at length about what this franchise means to him. You know, it's kind of a cliche, but you know, they talk about family and the Fast franchise, but it's true. It's like, he really thinks of it that way, and it's really important to him that all the notes are just right to make this a part of the Fast franchise. And in fact, he had some ideas that we incorporated in the show, including the character Frosty, because he thought it would be important to have a younger character who can't drive on the team, who kind of looks up to Tony the way Tony looked up to Dom. It's a great idea, and Frosty's an incredible character, so that's something that we incorporated, you know, right from the beginning.
And his daughter is on the series, too. How was it working with Vin Diesel's daughter?
Oh, she's great. She is great. She plays Sissy, Frosty's little sister, and, yeah, she's been a lot of fun. I think this is the first acting gig she's ever had, and, yeah, she's really enjoying it, and it's really fun to see, you know, when Vin came in to record his line, Simmel Shea came with him, and kind of gave him some direction, which is hilarious. So they're a lot of fun together, and I think that makes it fun for him, too, to kind of pass the torch to her.
Absolutely. Tim Hendrick and Brett Holland, the executive producers of Fast and Furious Spy Racers, are on the LCJ Q&A right now. One of the big elements of the movies and one of the big elements of this show has to be the look of the cars. So how was it, Brett, getting the look of the cars right and also capturing the streets of L.A.?
Well, again, we start with the movies, so we're looking at, you know, the car that Dom drives, the Dodge, and, you know, we tried to modify that just enough, and then we sort of blended that with other muscle cars, and we created our own completely legally safe version of a muscle car for Tony. And then we went to Layla, and we made a coupe that, you know, a little bit of the Euro car, a little bit of the Japanese tuner car, sort of blend it together and make this really awesome coupe, again, totally legal. So we're looking at vehicles that feel real world and are grounded in reality, and then we sort of tweak them and push them.
And what about the sounds, too? The sounds of the cars, there's a lot of sound effects, obviously the revving up of the engines, even right out of the gate in the first episode. How was it capturing all of that?
We're very proud of the sound team we have. They've won plenty of Emmys for the work they've done, and they investigated in detail all the types of sounds a muscle car would make, a big truck, how the wheels of a truck would sound differently when it takes a corner or hits the brakes, the specific sounds of an electric car that Echo drives. We've investigated all the aspects of it, so we're constantly watching that and tracking that.
Cool. Yeah, I'm sure fans of the Fast and Furious franchise will not be disappointed when it comes to the technical elements of this show. You know, over the summer, I met Neil Moritz, one of the producers of this series and producer of the film franchise. His latest film out was The Art of Racing in the Rain. Tim, what was he specifically looking for in a project like this?
Well, I think that he really has a good feel for what makes things, what makes the Fast films look like the Fast films. Like one of the details he threw at us when we were looking at some early animatics was that he said we needed to add more things into the foreground so that we could actually feel the speed of the cars. And I think as a guy who's been, you know, a producer on all these Fast films, he's really picked up a lot of kind of those inside tips, like try this, try that, to just kind of like ground it even more. So he's pretty rooted into that stuff.
That's good. And that's good to feel those details. Absolutely. Now, as we mentioned off the top, you got Fast and Furious 9 coming out in May, the marketing campaign getting underway. Did you insert any references into Spy Racers that could carry over into Fast 9 or any of the other upcoming movies?
We've tried to stay away from any kind of crossover with any of the movies. I mean, we want to have... we're in the world of Fast, but because the way our production works and the way their production works and the way things change before they reach the marketplace, we just try to stay out of any like story details that would possibly cross over in case they change something or we change something or someone drops out or, you know, whatever, just to not kind of dumb up the works that way.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, what's really interesting is that the movies have all come out in either late spring or the summertime. I love the fact that this is kind of a holiday treat coming out on December 26th for families to watch this together on Netflix over the holidays.
Yeah, when you're done opening all your presents and you're kind of tired of listening to your in-laws talk for a while, you can binge some Spy Racers. It's a great way to burn 3 hours. Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it, but also it's just kill the time, you know? Let's face it, the holidays are long.
Gosh, what are you going to be doing now? The show debuts the day after Christmas. How are you going to be celebrating the holidays and kind of a little bit of a break after this?
No, there's no break for us. We just keep on going. But I'll be back in Indiana with my family, and they're big race fans, so I'm going to have my parents sit down and watch the show with me.
All right, Brett, what about you?
Going to rest up and get back to work in the new year at full speed. We don't take big breaks around here. We are constantly working.
Huh, okay, but what, you know, they just announced today they're having this big concert for the new Fast movie with Cardi B's gonna be there and Ludacris and Wiz Khalifa and some other people like a couple days before the Super Bowl in Miami. I feel like, because I'm a diehard Eagles fan, so if the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl this year, I'm going to Miami. So if you guys want to join me in Miami and we go to this concert, you are more than welcome.
Hey, if you've got tickets, you know, we'll take them. I don't think there's any way the Eagles are going to be in the Super Bowl. I'd love to go to Miami.
You never know. You never know. But yes, I would love to go to Miami as well. That would be so much fun. Well, listen, guys, congratulations on the show. It's really energetic. It's really fun. Fast and Furious Spy Racers, all 8 episodes of the first season, debut on Netflix December 26th. Tim and Brett, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. All right, I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. For more, check out lights-camera-jackson.com, Podbean, and Spotify. See you next time on the LCJ Q&A.